continuing this week is the Bonfire Chamber Music Festival. It's time for Area Voices, telling the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. It's their third season. Earlier this week, they had performances at McCrossey Arts Center, United Methodist Church, the Kiesler Wellness Center. The fire is spreading to more places around Grand Rapids area today and tomorrow. They'll be right outside in the KEXE Amphitheater. And here to tell us about it, John,
is Nancy Oliveros and Ray Shows. And thanks for coming in this morning. Get real close to those mics.
Oh, sure.
And how are you holding up?
Oh, just lovely. Just lovely. I mean, yesterday the weather was just fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And the audience last night was wonderful.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, we had a really nice crowd last night.
Nancy, how are you holding up?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm great. I'm on my second cup of coffee.
So where are you folks from?
This string quartet is from St. Paul, Minnesota, but we're from all different parts. Nancy's from Wisconsin. I'm from Georgia. Annalee Wolf, our violist, is from the Twin Cities area. And Patty Ryan is from San Diego, California.
How does that work out?
Well, we like each other.
Well, I hope so. But I mean, how does this group exist? How does it form?
No, we're in St. Paul. We're in residence in St. Paul, and we've been together. Actually, Ray and I and two other people originally formed this quartet 32 years ago in Boston, and we've been out in the Midwest since the 90s, and in the Twin Cities since 2001. And so we do. We're a band. We're legit, and we rehearse. We rehearse several times a week, and we have all kinds of things that we do in the Twin Cities.
You've been together almost as long as the Stones, for crying out loud.
Oh yeah.
So you two can just like look at each other, like there's cues and stuff.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That I think people remark the fact that we do play very well together, and we blend well together because we work hard at that. Those are the kind of things that a group that's serious about a purpose. And we also are very big in education. We have a string quartet school in the Twin Cities. That's one of the. It's a pretty unique thing. There's not too many of those around the country.
Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, it's called the Artaria. Our quartet's name is Artaria String Quartet, and we got that back in Boston, and like Nancy said, 32 years ago. And we run the Artaria Chamber Music School. It's a coaching program every week, every Saturday afternoon. We're with the kids from noon to about 4 or 5. We have about 30 to 40 kids every week that come, high school kids, that come in every week to come study chamber music. And mix with other quartet geeks like the rest of us. And at the end of the year, we take them to Stringwood, which is a 3-week long summer extension of the program. And we just got back, it ended June 30th. And we spend 3 weeks with kids that are not just from our program, but from national schools around the country. So, about 44 kids this year.
So, wow. there are people coming up in the chamber music world.
Yes.
You have hope about the future?
Oh, my gosh.
Chamber music.
They'll be bumping you sometime.
Yeah.
That's it. We're training the competition.
Yep. That's what we are.
So what is chamber music?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Oh, chamber music is one person on a part. So, so you're an individual. You have to be ready to play everything, like a soloist and yet blend like a wonderful team player.
The chamber part is about the intimacy of it. Orchestras are great. We love them. We support them. And all the kids are in youth orchestras. And we do a little freelancing, but mostly we do just chamber music. It was originally conceived in a chamber or a smaller room. The sponsor or the person that's funded the composition or the composers would have it in a small venue that would be, 20, 30 people maybe of their friends. And then a lot of people, when chamber music got started in about the late 18th century, they were performer listeners. In other words, they would be practicing and going home and trying the music out that they heard. And then they got to a level where Beethoven was writing, and it got to be where you had to take this a little more seriously than just sight reading. And there's a lot of commentary. Well, what's that quote, Nancy? Do you remember?
Well, one of the pieces that we're performing this week by Beethoven is really rather difficult, and it was just shocking at the time. The musicians were like, "What? We can't play this stuff." And he remarked, "Look, I'm not writing it for you. I'm writing it for the future."
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, Ray,
that's
you were kind enough to send us some things. We're
yes.
Take a little listen here to one of the Beethoven pieces you sent.
Sure.
Oh.
You know what's great? How big they smiled when they heard their music. And you must hear it a million times.
Well, actually, and anybody will tell you this, it's hard to listen to your own playing. I mean, because you're like assessing it and critiquing it the moment the bow hits the string. You're like, oh, I can fix that. Oh, I got to do that. I got to do that. So generally, it takes a while to get back into it. But that's a live performance from Sundin Hall. We just did that a few months ago.
Okay.
And we played that last night. That was the last time we'll play that until next spring when we do the complete Beethoven string quartets.
Look who's running into the studio.
Oh, my gosh.
There she is. Mary Ellen is busted in here.
Mary Ellen's the brainchild behind the Bonfire Chamber
Orchestra. You two can share that mic. Pull up one of these little pods. Here we go.
Yeah. And we are talking about, they've been here all week, and they'll be performing today, 11 o'clock, at the KEXE Amphitheater. Mary Ellen, did you find,
Your keys?
You must have. I got here.
Really close to the mic.
No, they were in the camper. I've been entertaining people. It's been a whirlwind. But really exciting. See, Bonfire Chamber Music Festival has to have a bonfire.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So the musicians last night, after Artaria's fabulous concert, we were really, really excited. I know they were tired, but
we burned our violins.
Yeah. So Ray said, big flames. Okay, out to the lake. And Ray and Nancy, of course, they're always like right with me on all these crazy ideas. And we were gathering kindling and wood. And of course, I'm not paying attention.
Right.
I have in my mind, we got to get a boat ride in before it gets too dark. And it was dark last night. And we have to build a bonfire. So that's why I missed my keys. But anyway.
Wow.
Thanks for making it. You have some good lungs because you're not breathing hard at all running and sprinting in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it better? Do you need to be fit? I mean, is it a good thing to be kind of in shape?
It's physically demanding to
musical?
play the piece, especially the pieces we're playing. And when we do the cycle next year, it's going to be, you know, it's 16 string quartets. So it's got to be done over 2 weekends.
Okay.
So it's going to be 8 hours of playing over 2 weekends. It's a lot of notes and a lot of work. But yeah, you have to. The young kids we coach don't understand that you have to pace yourself, especially in, let's say, Grosse Fugue, which is, you know, 15 minutes of solid, full-out playing. 15 minutes. You know, most modern pieces are like, what, 4 or 5. This is like 3 or 4 times that.
Yesterday, Ray said, we can't go out on the lake. He said, I can't be sunburned. He said, I have to play Razumovsky, Opus 59, number 1 tonight. I'm never going to get through it if I have a sunburn.
Nobody else on the face of the earth said that yesterday.
No, nobody on the face of the earth.
Because
of Razumovsky?
It's interesting that there's a lot of politics involved with string quartet, with music.
Especially with Beethoven.
And Beethoven and Napoleon trying to rule the world and stuff. And so he's Beethoven is trying to get the Russians to come protect Austria, which is where they are, and Vienna. And so he's writing music to the Russian ambassadors, and so he's including Russian themes. That's why Count Razumovsky's supporting the music, and he's trying to get the Russians to get interested in helping against the French. So it's kind of interesting how it all works.
So how do you take care of yourself during a week like this where you're performing a lot? You're making sure you get enough sleep?
Obviously not well enough. She lost her keys.
You probably didn't party all night long around
sure
the bonfire.
We did.
Okay.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
No, I feel, at least myself, having to be in a dual role of hospitality and taking care of musicians and trying to practice myself, trying to take care of my mom. You know, and I love coming back to Grand Rapids. I think that Grand Rapids is the perfect place for a chamber music festival. And everybody says, oh, everybody just likes folk music, or they were all about the Grand Jam, and that's great. It's great. But you know, in Brainerd, they've got a big chamber music festival that's going.
11 years they've had the festival there.
So they're doing their thing. And Northern Lights.
Right. Opera
has
on the range.
Their thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know that we can make this happen in Grand Rapids. And
well,
I'm
you
grateful
are.
To
Third
the
year.
Right. I'm grateful to the Rife Center. I'm grateful to Minnesota State Arts Board for funding Artaria. We couldn't have them here without that grant. I do hope people come tonight. It's a different concert tonight. They are really energetic. When my mother and my husband and I went back to my mom's condo and got her all settled, she said, you know, I think they're better than ever.
Mm.
She said they're better than ever.
She loves it for years.
And she loves watching Nancy and Ray, and she's always just loved Nancy. Nancy pays special attention. But Patty Ryan, their new cellist, is so great. She's amazing. And I think that
she's still asleep. I don't think she's woken up.
Yeah, I think that having her in the group has added so much.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm here to say, so I like folk music. I like some twang. I like rock and roll. But I love classical music, too. And I think people kind of think, I honestly think there might be a similar thing to, like, poetry. People think, like, you have to be an expert. You have to understand it to go, which you never think when you go to, like, a concert of something else. You don't have to understand every moment of it. You should just go and feel it.
Yeah. Well, you know, in those Russian quartets, they're full of folk tunes, Russian folk tunes. Ah. We may not know those tunes, but when you start hearing, you'll hear that there's very tuneful stuff.
Is a quartet, when you have a quartet, is it always consist of the same type of instruments you're playing, or can it be anything?
In chamber music, it can be anything. But when we are talking about a string quartet, it is always two violins, one viola, and one cello. And they took about 200 years to figure that out way back. They experimented with all kinds of different instruments that were beautiful, and those pieces are still performed with a string bass and two violas and one violin, and on and on and on. And then Joseph Haydn nailed it on the head. You know, he's just like, oh, let's try two violins, viola, and cello. Next.
Soprano, alto, tenor, bass.
It's just really so gorgeous the way they sound, so good individually and together. Mm-hmm. Just those four instruments just are great.
I think that's the key. Excuse me, Nancy. You know, what sounded great? You know, we had piano quintets that had a string bass instead of a string quartet and piano. But gradually, people were saying, wait, this other combination, this is it. Acoustically, just the instrumentation was better. So composers preferred it.
Do you learn, get better every day? I mean, are you better than you were 2 years ago?
Oh, my gosh,
her mother says it. That's the truth.
Right. That's the truth, yeah. No, we always, as an artist, you're just continually striving for more, you know.
What does that mean, though, when you're so good?
No.
To get better. But what do you know that you're better at?
Well, it's just striving to bring out more of what the music is trying to say. And so being a better technician, you know, just continuing to observe the nuance of the horsehair on the string and how much bow speed you give and how much pressure you put. And just all of those things create better music.
Ray, you're thinking.
I'm thinking that you hit the right word. You're trying to transcend the technical. We have to get the technical, and we impart this to our students, that they have to learn the technical side of things. But if they just stay in the land of technical, then it's just a technical performance, you know, just throwing the ball or just running that. It's when you get beyond that that you start feeling human. That you start feeling, wow, that this is something that's worthy of doing, and it gets beyond work. And it is a lot of work to put these pieces in.
There are a lot of athletes out there. You are an athlete. You know what it's like to have to keep your body in shape, and you're using your body. Playing a musical instrument is a very physical thing. You have to stay in shape, and it's like training. It's always training. Practicing is training. I used to tell my daughter, who was a D1 runner, it's the same, Madeline. Oh, no. Yes, it is. Let me show you how it's the same. They have a son who's a great baseball player and oboist. He does it both, and he probably, I don't know, speak to that.
Great.
The mom's got to speak to that.
No, the dad's got to speak to that. No, I mean, we can see one of our sons. We have two sons. But anyway, one of our sons is in both realms. And he's a beautiful athlete, and his baseball skills, I mean, when we see him in a game, it's transcending, you know, the fact that he understands the game. He understands what to do, okay? And then that transcends over into his music as well.
Sure.
It's art in process.
I was going to ask, because as a listener, as an observer, when you go to concerts and maybe classical or chamber, but you see at one point, it's almost like you can visually see when you're in it, when maybe a musician is swaying a little bit, or you can just tell something else is going on. Does it feels like that when you're...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And then it's those moments in performances where the audience, you'll hear something from the audience. I mean, we can actually hear breathing coming from the audience, or just a little bit of, you know, that sort of thing. And you know that they're getting the moment.
You know, and all of us, you know, these things happen. I mean, it's, a lot of it, it's we're not planning it. We're playing, and all of a sudden, all of us are like, oh, that was great. Yeah.
It's about sharing the moment. You know, Mary Ellen talked about her mother. About how important it is. It's in, and that's really a metaphor for the audience, really, because her mother is her most important audience. But Mary Ellen in this festival really wants to take care of the Grand Rapids area audience because that's what she's from here, and this is what she believes in, and she has her friends now, Ray and Nancy and Patty and Anna Lee, joining her in this. So it's getting that trend, that.
We've been hearing more about the Bonfire Chamber Music Festival. The good news is it is not over. Mary Ellen, tell us what people can still be a part of.
So today at 11 o'clock, bring your sack lunches, bring your kids, bring your grandmothers, and come over to the KAXE tent and sit. You're going to hear more than what you're going to hear tonight. You're going to hear some really cool...
You're going to hear the birds, too, and it's going to be great.
You're going to hear the river go by. It's going to be great.
We have some Swedish folk tunes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then tonight, they'll be playing Opus 18, number 3, mm-hmm. and the Rockberg 3 quartets. Fantastic. Tomorrow, you can go to Grand Village at 11 o'clock and be with the older people as the Two Sisters Trio and myself will do a preview of tomorrow night's concert. And we'll be playing the Clara Schumann Trio Opus 17. It's the 200th anniversary of her birth this year. And then Johannes Brahms Opus 8. And so that's got its own story of intrigue. The ladies are out at the lake right now. They're drinking their coffee. Yeah.
If you want more information on performances for the Bonfire Chamber Music Festival, give us a call, 800-662-5799. I think there'll be a fourth annual, don't you, Mary?
I hope so. I really do. And thank you so much, Heidi.
Yes,
really,
thanks.
You guys, it helps to build a culture of appreciation, just something different. It's what makes Grand Rapids special. You guys are all willing to take a risk.